Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
So, folks, we'll continue to cover the saga of the French Quarter DDD sanitation contract. There, almost daily, things pop up that just can't be explained. We try to figure it out, and so I have J.P. Morrell on to collaborate with me to try and figure out how this is going and where it's going. J.P., welcome to the show.
Thanks. I mean, we're back for trash talk again. I mean, you know I do other things besides trash. I'm just saying, you can have me on for the other things I do, but I'm happy to talk about trash again.
Well, as I said, I'm these are head scratchers, right? I just simply don't understand. I mean, how can so many times things pop up with one contract that, you know, you're kind of bamboozled about?
Well, I mean, to start, so obviously you've heard there was, we did an appeal to the Fourth Circuit regarding Mr. Henry violating the suspensive appeal, and the Fourth Circuit denied the request, but really, we were put in a very unfortunate predicament. You can appreciate this. So it was a very unusual motion, because typically people don't violate suspensive appeals, so there was really no governing, there was no governing precedent on how you deal with someone who is publicly stating they're going to violate a suspensive appeal. And the Fourth Circuit denied our request to step in early, but a lot of people reached out to us to ask us to go to the Supreme Court, and we declined to do so, mainly because, as you may have noticed, they didn't issue an opinion. So we have no idea why they denied the request. And one thing I found particularly interesting, and as a lawyer you could appreciate it, on page 9 of the filing by Mr. Henry's attorneys, it has a line that I think you'll appreciate. Because the counsel claims, based on evidence not before this court and which was never presented to district court, that Henry Consulting will begin operating under a sanitation contract with the city starting on August 1st, this motion is both speculative and entirely premature. I mean, Newell, that's his own lawyer saying our client is yelling to the rafters he's going to start picking up trash on August 1st, but because he hasn't started doing the trash pickup, he could just be talking out of his ass. That's basically what they're saying. And
well, you know,
we didn't get an opinion back from the – go ahead.
In lease law, there's something called an anticipatory breach, right, and where your conduct is the best evidence of you intending – to violate the terms and conditions of a lease. Like, you move all your furniture out, all your clothes out,
right,
and every and things of that nature, right? And you're not paying your rent. It's a pretty good example of that as well. Well, when you have the mayor, the client, and everyone else saying August 1st this is happening, kind of looks and sounds and walks and smells like anticipatory breach.
That's what we thought. And further in that same thing, they go, hey, we think that you should not consider this, and you should consider the underlying appeal. And basically our decision as of a Thursday was, you know what, game on, we'll take you on that offer. Let's not move forward on this very weird motion to the Supreme Court. We're going to have our lawyers move aggressively and with all speed to have the Paulette Irons case heard by the Fourth Circuit well before that August 1st due date. But I want to move past that for a second, because I think you'll appreciate this, because you kind of caused this other thing to happen. Let me kind of spell it out to you. Remember how you and I both spent a lot of time looking over the various issues within the contract that Troy Henry claims is his legal contract for the French Quarter? Mm-hmm. In that contract, there are two ways the contract can be terminated. One is for cause, which is always the case, but there's a second option in that contract, which is for lack of appropriation. And what was filed on first read yesterday and was co-authored by four of the five council members who can vote on the matter is simply an ordinance stating that should the contract ever be deemed to be legal, the council will exercise the option to exit the contract with its terms by deappropriating the money from Area 5. So at this point, in his own contract, which we hold, as you and I have completely gone through over and over again, all the different problems in that contract. The fact it's got half a bond, the prepay, the changing out the different people, the fact that we now have a partner in the contract under Richards, that they solved their issue, but it's a confidential settlement that the public has no access to. If for some reason we are on Earth to Bizarro Land and every court rules that all of this stuff is potentially illegal, which we still hold it's not, and we're going to fight in court on those matters, the council always retains the ability, like any legislative body, whether it be the state legislature, a parish council, or a city council, that we can choose to terminate the contract by just not spending the money on the contract.
But then you don't have a garbage contract.
Well,
right?
You have two.
And I don't know that I don't know that gives you the latitude to go and procure the same services from yet another vendor. I mean, you can rebid it.
Well, first off, that measure sits on the calendar until such point as we get a final review from the Supreme Court or appellate court of a body with a final decision. So that's one. Two, that's where Senator Harris's bill comes in the legislature currently. Should that bill pass, Newell, then the French Quarter Management District would have the authority to pick up trash in Area 5. Until the council and city can get their act together to rebid a contract. So that ordinance is sitting on the calendar. It's not ripe because obviously that is an ordinance of last resort if the worst mm-hmm. possible outcome happens. But we're fairly confident, and Newell, you've seen the Paul and Irons decision, a judge issuing a ruling, a mandamus ruling, to make a legislative body vote the way she wants to give a contract to someone. If you've taken Civics 101, the judiciary branch cannot tell the legislative branch how to vote. It's that basic.
Yeah. It's a little bit of what's going on across the country right now with judicial activism. I mean, we forget about what the law reads. Forget about what procedural or substantive law reads. We just do what we want, when we want, how we want, because we want a certain outcome. We don't know how to get there. We don't have the authority to get there. So we just make stuff up.
That's exactly it. I mean, at the end of the day, like, if you are a judge who wants to affect the law, be a legislator. If I'm a legislator who wants to rule on cases, I run for judge. That's the way it goes. And it's one thing, and you detailed this ad nauseum, Mr. Henry chose to do a mandamus action and to not challenge the validity of the statute. The judge could have ruled, had it been in front of her, whether or not we have the authority to regulate these contracts. And I welcome that fight as well, because that law's been in effect since 2022, and at least two trash contracts have gone out since that law has been passed without incident. But instead, they chose a mandamus action where they told the judge that we want you to make them give us the contract. And the reality is, in order for the council president to sign anything, Newell, the council has to vote on it. But the nature of how legislative bodies operate. And a judge cannot tell a council president how to vote without to sign a document without a vote. And by function of law, by function of the process, trying to do that is trying to dictate an outcome before a vote's been taken. And it's really disappointing that someone who's a former judge would forget how the legislature operates, but apparently sometimes you do.
So let me ask you this. I mean, obviously this has consumed a lot of time for members of the council, and I would assume for members of the administration as well. It's got to affect and impact the mood of everyone. I mean, this is kind of we're getting in these battles and have this friction. Do you ever wonder, what is the end game here with this administration?
Well, I mean, as you might have seen, might have saw yesterday.
Let me add something to that. With the backdrop that the CAO is saying, if it were up to me, I'd rebid the contract.
The CAO, you have the others. CAO as well as the head of DPW, both said the same thing.
It's like, okay, these are the folks that have to make it happen, right? They're the operational folks. They're going to implement all of this. They recognize the frailty and the problems within this particular contract, but it doesn't seem like anybody else does in the administration. I mean, and it's like, you know, it's like, what are we doing here? Do you feel like you're beating your head up against a wall or something? But I mean, it's crazy.
Well, it's the administration is actively lobbying against Senator Harris's bill that simply creates a safety net to make sure people's trash gets picked up in the quarter. Like, I mean, there is a complete departure from reality in that part of government's job, I mean, I would say the essential part of it, is to provide governmental services, make sure that money is being spent properly, and make sure lives are not being impacted. I'm as tired of talking about this contract as anyone, but I have to remind people, this is a $75 million contract that's over the course potentially of 7 years with no exit clause. If this contract had all of the requirements of the other four contracts, if the bond was a full bond, if it was being paid timely, if there wasn't all the shenanigans with who's in, who's out, who's on first, who's on second, doing the contract, and we had the ability with extended time to evaluate and exit the contract if it were bad, we wouldn't be here today. But reason why we're here is because as a council, some of us are coming back, some of us are not coming back, some may not get elected, some may get elected, but you have to make the decision at the end of the term what's best for the city, whether you're there or not in the future. And the idea that you would kneecap an incoming administration, kneecap a council with a contract this bad, and that the mayor, who's not going to be here for the fallout should this contract not work out, triple down on trying to make sure every single set of circumstances is in favor of a contractor and not the residents of the city or the city's financial interest, it is kind of breathtaking. I mean, at the end of any term for an elected official, particularly executives who have contracting authority, you've seen this, Newell. This is when you have to pay the most attention to contracts.
Oh, absolutely.
Because this is when outgoing administrations tie you up with bad contracts that go into other administrations. And the scrutiny we have on trash, it's on everything. We are constantly fighting over contracts at the council level.
No doubt. As always, didn't mean to end your week this way. I'll give you a week off. How about that?
Oh, you know I'll be back next week, hopefully on something that's not trash. But I'll be back whenever you need me, Newell.
Such a giving guy. JP Morrell, New Orleans City Council member, thank you so much for your time, your insight, and have a great Mother's Day weekend. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.